2800. That's 248-546-2800. The phone answers 24 hours a day. 248-546-2800.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Mosque and community center.
The bridge between cultures.
Oh, it's a deliberate slap in the face.
The opposition to the mosque is out of fear.
That's ridiculous.
The United States has more Muslim blood on its hands.
I'm not going to debate you, Jerry.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and debate you.
I hope we can come to a prudent compromise.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Soon AM radio will reign king once more.
Inconceivable.
And fly. What do you think you're doing?
That's a wonderful question.
That's a good, profound question, Al.
You always ask very good questions.
Love your show, Al.
This is great.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. This is Patrick Coffin. The toll-free number is 1-877-573-7825. And our next topic is something near and dear to my heart. It's a man who I've loved and admired from afar for quite a long time. He was born in 1929 and died during a hellacious close-up firefight on the battlefields of Vietnam. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient. He was a Mary Knoll priest and really lived a heroic life as a soldier, as a Marine chaplain, although he was with officially the Navy. His name is Father Vincent Capodanno. He is Servant of God Vincent Capodanno. There is a decommissioned U.S. frigate named in his honor. There are Sons of Marines after him, city streets, military chapels. And today to talk about his legacy and the nature of his cause for canonization is Judy McCloskey. Judy married a U.S. Navy officer, now retired, had six kids born during her husband's 20-year military career, and she's the founder of CatholicMill.org, Catholics in the Military. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Judy is the petitioner for the cause of Father Vincent R. Capodanno. Judy McCloskey, welcome to Cresta in the Afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. We will get to her, but something more urgent would be Nick Tom with the news. First of all, Nick.
Thank you very much, Patrick, and a good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News. It is Thursday, November 11th, the Feast of St. Martin of Tours. Today's news is brought to you in part by Siena Communication at ProLifeCatholic.com. Calling them fierce warriors, Vice President Joe Biden paid tribute at Arlington National Cemetery today to those who serve in the nation's military. At a Veterans Day observance, Biden turned to words penned by novelist John Steinbeck.
A soldier is the most holy of all humans because he is the most tested. A soldier must coldly learn to put himself in the way of losing his own life without going mad.
The vice president praised the nation's troops, noting that they serve under the most trying of circumstances, such as the bitter cold of the mountains of Afghanistan. President Obama has reached out to the Muslim world, acknowledging that more needs to be done to repair ties. Speaking in Jakarta, he praised Indonesia as an example of diverse and democratic developing nations. Kate Moody reports.
The speech was painted by White House officials as part of a continuing outreach to the Islamic world.
I've made it clear that America is not and never will be at war with Islam. Instead, all of us must work together to defeat Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, who have no claim to be leaders of any religion, certainly not a great world religion like Islam.
But many Muslim leaders say President Obama has failed to live up to previous promises, noting that too few concrete changes in American foreign policy have followed previous speeches in Egypt and Turkey. Kate Moody, Washington.
The Obama administration has urged the U.S. Supreme Court to not intervene in a lawsuit challenging the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. A gay rights group challenged the military policy in a lawsuit filed 6 years ago. The group won an initial ruling that blocked the policy, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco put that decision on hold pending a review. Obama has pledged to do away with the 1993 policy. However, administration officials want to allow the Pentagon enough time to develop a comprehensive transition plan. Attorney General Eric Holder says the Obama administration is close to a decision on how to prosecute accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Former U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft says Holder has a tough call to make.
in matters that relate to international terrorism and the safety and security of American liberty, I think you have to weigh the safety and security of America, and as well as what kind of penalty might be occasioned.
Holder originally planned to try Mohammed in a federal civilian court in Manhattan. That plan was scrapped after an outcry about trying Mohammed in a location so close to Ground Zero. Ashcroft, who served during the George W. Bush administration, said determining where to hold terror trials requires a balancing act. He said trials in civilian courts could result in harsher penalties, but would not safeguard sensitive information as military courts might. The former attorney general noted that the Bush administration chose to try certain terror suspects in civilian courts, such as the so-called shoe bomber, Richard Reed. Reed pled guilty in U.S. federal court to 8 criminal counts of terrorism. The St. Charles County, Missouri Council is considering a ban on protests at all funerals. County Executive Steve Ellman says the ban would be much like a Nebraska law, focusing more on the family's privacy instead of trying to keep people away from funerals.
We are trying to protect the interest of all families who are in that situation that all of us eventually are in, where we have loved ones that we have to take to their final resting place.
He went on to say that he doesn't think the proposed ban violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and is willing to take the battle to a higher court. He adds the county will spend several weeks studying the issue before putting together the proposal. The council will debate the ordinance on November 29th. The defection of one of Russia's top spymasters may be the West's biggest intelligence victory since the Cold War. A Russian paper says the head of Russia's deep cover operations has defected and was responsible for the bust of a Russian spy ring in the U.S. in June. The spymaster is identified only as Colonel Sherbakov. The Russian paper identified Sherbakov as being responsible for spies operating in the U.S. under deep cover without diplomatic immunity. An unidentified Kremlin official remarked they know where Sherbakov is and that he is probably being targeted by a Russian hit squad. And finally, a Pakistani Christian mother has been sentenced to death for blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad after she refused to convert to Islam. Ashia Bibi, a resident, was working at a local farm when the Muslim women with which she was working called her an infidel and urged her to convert to Islam. She refused, saying that Christianity was the only true religion. The Muslim men working in nearby fields also gathered and attacked her, at which point she fled to her village home. The angry Muslims followed her, took her out of her home, and started beating her, her children also. But meanwhile, someone informed police. Police then arrested her on blasphemy charges. Following a lengthy trial, she has now been sentenced to death. And now your fascinating fact for the day. 40% of car thief victims admit that their keys were left in the ignition. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom. Now, back to guest host, Patrick Coffin.
Cresta, in the afternoon, where interesting factoids are always more interesting than the mistakes I make on the air. Actually, I'm glad I did intro Father Capodanno before the news, because it gives me a chance to tee him up again. He's one of my favorite heroes in Christ. Father Capodanno was a Navy chaplain, lieutenant, and spent the last months and years of his life next to our fighting men in Vietnam. Died in September 1967 in a terrible firefight, and joining us to talk about his life, his heroic imitation of Jesus Christ, and his enduring legacy is Judy McCloskey. Judy is the petitioner for the cause of Father Vincent Capodanno. She married a U.S. Navy officer and is the founder of CatholicMill.org, Catholics in the Military. Can't wait to speak with you, and we welcome Judy McCloskey to Cresta in the Afternoon. Hello, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I introduced you twice just because you get a double portion today. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to talk to you because I read The Grand Padre by Father Dan Mode, and I've done probably more than the average layman's reading on Father Capodanno, his upbringing, and the story of his going to the Mary Knowles and what it was like to come home to hear the unrest and the kind of the objections to the Vietnam War and how that affected him. And I'm also kind of interested, it's kind of a playful list that I have in my mind of who's going to be the first American-born male saint. He's up against Bishop Sheen and Venerable Solanus Casey, as you know. I know you know the other ones. But tell us a little bit about why you think Father Capodanno is now servant of God, Capodanno, and where are we with the cause, Judy?
Well, you know, his life was a whole testimony to his love of country and his belief in Christ. And he lived that within the context of his family, certainly within the context of his vocation to the priesthood, and unquestionably in the context of his vocation as a soldier, as a chaplain in the Navy. And he was actually an American, Italian-American immigrant. His parents were born in Italy. His mother was from Sorrento, and his father was from Gaeta, where there still stands today a piazza named after Father Capodanno.
Hmm.
And it's also a military base as well. But at any rate, he lived that self-giving, self-sacrificing life that all Christians are called to. He arrived in Vietnam during Holy Week. He was part of about seven missions, the seventh of which was Operation Swift. And he literally died with his boots and his stole on. He died in the middle of Operation Swift in the heat of battle while administering last rites to the wounded and the dying on the battlefields in Vietnam. And all of those who were serving with him that day, remember, their testimonies have two common threads to them. And having interviewed some of these veterans extensively, I have about 10 hours of recorded videotape of veterans who recall serving in Vietnam with Father Capodanno. They remember two things. One is the roar of those moments in battle. One of them equated it to the sound one hears when one goes to New York and visits Niagara Falls. This constant, intense, overpowering noise and sound. There was so much gunfire, there was no sense of direction, where it was coming from. It was almost as if you were in an arena and it was just all around you. So just intense gunfire. And the other is Father Capodanno's eyes. Father Capodanno's eyes and his voice. And he was going around to the wounded on the battlefield, and he was looking at each one of these young guys, like we see today, you know, 18, 20, 24 years old, scared out of their minds. They're, you know, they don't know if they're going to live or die. If they're wounded on the battlefield, they just want to be rescued. And Father Capodanno just calmly walks over there, looks them in the eye, and says, you know, Marine, God is with us all this day. Stay calm. God is with us all this day. And one veteran recalls hearing those words at the exclusion of hearing the roar of the battle, you know, that he was surrounded in.
Mm-hmm.
That's remarkable. And he remembers those piercing eyes. So it's definitely something said to be noted in his heroism and his devotion to duty as a priest, even in the midst of war.
Judy, as you know, the Church doesn't necessarily canonize someone because they died a heroic death. Take us back to Father Capodanno's younger years. He wasn't exactly a late vocation, was he? But he kind of fell into the Mary Knowles, not exactly out of grade school either. Tell us about his upbringing and the signs of heroism that we saw before he went to Vietnam.
Right. Well, you know, that's true. I mean, they recognize him for his heroic virtue and his Christocentric life, not just his death.
Yes.
You know, when it's as traumatic, for lack of a better word, as it was in the case of Father Capodanno, it's generally the first thing that's noted or remembered most. But you're right. It is, in fact, his life. He came from a large family. He was the youngest of 10, and I think right there that tells you that he grew up in an environment where self-sacrifice was common. There's 10 children, although one of them died while quite young, shortly after childbirth, as a matter of fact. But Vince was the youngest. And in that family situation of 12, including the parents, there's an awful lot of give and take. So from an early age, there was there was that sense of common good, of greater good, and not just sort of self-centered living.
Mm-hmm.
So the family environment was a definite part of it, as was just the fact that it was a Catholic home. You know, Sunday meant something. Everybody went to Mass. Holy days were honored. Festivals were honored. It was an Italian community in Staten Island, which remains a Italian Catholic community.
Yes.
And in fact, in Staten Island at Fort Wadsworth, there's the Cappadano Chapel, obviously named after Father Cappadano, and this beautiful life-sized statue greets you as you enter into the chapel of that moment where Father is providing last rites to one of the wounded soldiers there.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a Mass said there every year since the anniversary of his death 40 years ago. So his family upbringing, his Catholic education, which always starts at the home. He attended Fordham University for a while. He worked in a pharmacy. He had a typical Catholic, Italian Catholic American upbringing. And then he was going to daily Mass as he was going to school. He would get up early as a teenager to attend morning Mass prior to his classes. So it meant something to him even in his teenage years. And in the process, he began discerning this call to the priesthood. And in fact, a friend of his who would often accompany him to daily Mass was also hearing the same, beginnings of this vocation as well. And as the years progressed, they both became priests. Father Cappadano became a Marinole missionary. And that set him off on a missionary path, and he started in Taiwan and experienced firsthand the effects of communism because so many people from the mainland would come and seek refuge there. And through this process, this arduous process, because he struggled with the language, frankly, and that was a bit of a hindrance to him, so much so that at one point his superiors, and the reasons remain a little bit unclear, but the language is definitely one of them, as well as sort of his meticulous lifestyle and so forth. Several factors played into this, but the superiors requested Father Cappadano to actually be reassigned. Now, that would be tantamount to starting all over again, because it would mean learning a new culture, learning a new language, literally starting from ground zero.
Well, ground zero is a nice time to pause, and we'll come back shortly, Judy, and pick up the conversation. This is Catholic, excuse me, this is Cresta, although he is Catholic, Cresta in the Afternoon. This is Patrick Coffin filling in for Al. Our guest this segment is Judy McCluskey, petitioner for the cause of Servant of God Vincent Cappadano, Navy chaplain in Vietnam. Stick around.
A good school provides a rounded education for the whole person, and a good Catholic school, over and above this, should help all its students to become saints. These recent words from Pope Benedict highlight the need for a strong Catholic education. Ave Maria is a new university in the Catholic tradition aspiring under grace to become a vital center of the new springtime of culture, anticipated by John Paul II for this millennium. Ave Maria University offers a liberal arts education with a broad moral and intellectual foundation. We don't just prepare you to take your place as a leader in this world. We prepare you to be saints. At Ave Maria University, we've attracted an extraordinarily gifted and dynamic faculty. Students learn not to just memorize material, but to understand it deeply, appropriate it, and apply it to their lives. Come to beautiful Southwest Florida to live, learn, and love our faith. We also welcome transfer students. More information at avemaria.edu.
New from best-selling journalist, historian, and author Paul Boddy is The Face of God. Boddy's book embarks on an exciting quest to discover the truth behind the Holy Face of Montepello relic. Boddy takes readers through a thrilling journey as he travels to research this remarkable relic, which, when laid over the image of the face on the Shroud of Turin, forms a perfect match. The Face of God is available at Ignatius.com or 800-651-1531. 800-651-1531.
Ave Maria School of Law is a private law school faithful to the Catholic intellectual tradition. Located in Naples, Florida, Ave Maria gives you the opportunity to integrate faith and reason and seeks to educate the whole person by exploring the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law. Our graduates are working in the nation's top law firms and judicial clerkships. Ave Maria School of Law provides financial scholarships. More information is available at avemarialaw.edu.
The Grunt Padre. His name is now Servant of God Vincent Capodanno. He is a heroic soldier, a Catholic priest, and a Navy chaplain who died on September 4th, 1967, during a terrible firefight with the 2nd Platoon of M Company. And we're talking with the petitioner of his cause for canonization, Judy McCluskey. The number, if you want to weigh in or ask any questions about the Servant of God, Vincent Capodanno, the toll-free number is 1-877-573-7825, 1-877-573-7825. Judy, before the break, you were talking about the difficulties that Father Capodanno was having with the language as a Mary Knoll missionary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And at that time, the religious superiors asked him to reassign to another country, and like I said, it would be starting all over again. And in that process of him trying to discern God's will in his life, he discerned a vocation within a vocation, a call to the Navy chaplaincy. He petitioned his religious superiors for service in the Navy. It was granted. He was then accepted within the military chaplain corps. And like I said, he reported for duty during Holy Week in 1966 to Vietnam, which was mm-hmm. quite unusual that they would send a first-time Navy chaplain immediately to the front lines. But that was God's call for him in his life and in his vocation.
Judy, so many people at that time were running away from conscription offices. He seemed to run in the opposite direction into the line of fire.
Yes.
Did his family find that disturbing, or were they happy that he wanted to be where the military action was?
Well, you know, I think as we see today, you know, whenever you see a loved one just running into harm's way, there's a reluctancy to see him go. The natural response is to hold on to him and prevent him and try to prevent him, especially as a mother's heart. I have a son who's considering military service now, so this mm-hmm. is very dear to my heart. You know, you want to say, you know, be careful, son, don't go. But the
sure.
supernatural response is to say, if this is God's will in your life, you know, literally go with God. You have mm-hmm. my blessing. So, yes, you know, on a very natural level, they were reluctant. On the supernatural level, being the good Catholic family that they were able to rise above that and support him in his vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, I almost said Father Mode,
mm-hmm.
Father Capodanno, was very much in tune with praying for God's will in his life, as well as going where he was needed most. That was a definite theme running through his entire life, was going mm-hmm. where he was most needed, and he felt that's where he was most needed, and so that's where he went.
You mentioned his family as a kind of strong incubation for the heroic sanctity that he had. When I hear from you, Judy, that Father Capodanno was the youngest of 10, I'm presuming that his family were not multimillionaires in Italy, and yet here they really, in their own way, heroically accepted the gift of fertility. I'm sure after the 6th child and the 7th and the 8th and then the 9th, that the parents had a decision to make. But if they really, if they'd had a contraceptive mentality, you and I would not be on the air. There would be no Father Capodanno, and the church would not have one more saint to have their intercession for.
Well, that's absolutely true. And to sort of add to the equation of the family dynamic there, Father Capodanno's father, Vincent Capodanno Sr., actually died on the very day that Vincent Capodanno Jr. would have celebrated his 10th birthday.
Oh, really?
So now you're faced with essentially a matriarch for a family with 10 children.
Mm-hmm.
And were it not for the mother's rallying faith that was instilled to those children who all rose to that occasion in support of the entire family as a unit, it would have been a very different story to be telling right now, to be sure.
If you've just come upon us, this is Cresta in the Afternoon. My name is Patrick Coffin, filling in for Al Cresta. The toll-free number is 1-877-573-7825. Our guest is Judy McCloskey, who is the petitioner for the cause of canonization for Father Vincent Capodanno. Judy, he didn't just die heroically and with severe multiple wounds from an exploding mortar round. He severed portion of his hand, and
yes,
he refused any medical aid. He just went from Marine to Marine to Marine with that resonant voice and those piercing, encouraging eyes. Really the presence of the Holy Spirit on that battlefield, I have no doubt. But he would do other things, wouldn't he? Like, he would go to burn units and read letters from girlfriends and wives. He gave up his leave endlessly. Isn't that part of his story, is his generosity with his own days off, transferring them to married men?
Absolutely, absolutely. And little things, like just always availing himself. I mean, being available to those who needed to talk to him at literally any hour of the day or night, miraculously having a can of soda or even a cigarette. You know, he smoked cigarettes mm-hmm. back in the day. It wasn't as scandalous, if you would say, for somebody in his position to be smoking, because nobody knew the dangers of cigarette smoke at that time. It was mm-hmm. quite a common thing. And he would readily share those cigarettes with others who wanted one and so forth. And whatever he had, he shared. And mm-hmm. and that, too, you have to credit with his upbringing. You know, that too, was the situation where there wasn't everything that you wanted, but there was everything that you needed. And what was needed was always shared. And he brought that with him to the front lines, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that of the, I think it's 10 or 12 men who were born in America who are being considered to be raised to the altars, two of those are military chaplains, Father Emil Capon,
yes,
a Korean War chaplain, and Father Capodanno. Do you think if the cause proceeds well, that his beatification will cast a different light on how we see the military and how the role of the chaplain will be better understood once more focuses on Father Capodanno's heroism?
Well, you know, only time will tell, but I certainly share that hope. I really do. I think it's also interesting for people to understand the connection of military service to just the vocation of the priesthood. Fulton Sheen, another servant of God whose cause has been opened, once said that the vocation of a soldier is next in dignity to the priesthood because it calls him to that same service and sacrifice, to that same mm-hmm. intention of service and sacrifice. So it's a very, very high calling. Additionally, even in today's seminaries, about 15% of them are coming in with prior military service. Well, that speaks of the nature of vocation as being self-sacrificing, self-giving, very much aware of the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's definitely an aspect that is perhaps more present in the military life than, say, in the typical civilian life, just by
sure.
the nature of its discipline, by the nature of its sacrifice and call to duty.
This is Cresta in the Afternoon. My name is Patrick Coffin. Happy to be filling in for Al Cresta today. This segment, our guest is Judy McCloskey. She's the petitioner for the cause of Servant of God, Father Vincent Capodanno, a Vietnam-era combat chaplain who died under heavy fire of the enemy in September 4th, 1967. Love to hear from your questions, if you have any, on this great saint who will, believe me, you'll be hearing more about Father Capodanno as the years go by. The toll-free number to speak with Judy about Father Capodanno and his heroism is 1-877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Judy, here at Catholic Answers, we have prayer cards for Servant of God Fulton Sheen. Tell us about how the cause is going for Father Capodanno. Are you waiting for a miracle? What's the petitio? How's that going? What stage?
Right. Well, we also have holy cards available. They can be requested through the website at vincentcapodanno.org. And in terms of miracles, you know, that's such a tricky thing because it has to be medically documented. That's actually the easier part. If it's medically documented, it's signed, sealed, delivered. But along with that has to be the consent of the family. Now, in addition to the book, perhaps since you've read so much about it, you've also seen the video called The Grunt Padre in Vietnam, which was produced by Focus. And it concludes with essentially a miracle that has been attributed to Father Capodanno and medically documented, but because of the family's request, we are not submitting it to Rome. And the story goes like this. Do I have time before
you
we
do?
Have to
sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Sure, let me just give the number one more time. It's 877-573-7825 to get in line and speak with the petitioner for the cause of Servant of God, Father Vincent Capodanno, great American-born saint, came from Italian stock. His parents born in Italy. He was from Staten Island, correct, Judy? Did he grow up in Staten Island? Okay. And died on the battlefields of Vietnam and maybe the, if not one of the firstborn American male-born saints. 1-888-573-7825 here on Cresta in the Afternoon. Okay, so the miracle story, Judy.
The miracle story, okay. There was a fireman who was one of the first responders about 10 years ago during 9/11 when the World Trade Centers were attacked. And this fireman, by rank in his division, was a lieutenant. Father Capodanno's rank as a Navy chaplain was lieutenant. This fireman's first name was Vincent. Obviously, Father Capodanno's first name was Vincent. Mm-hmm. He had a young son, a toddler, who had already been struggling with a life-threatening disease for over a year. The doctors had already told this father prior to 9/11 that there was little hope for his son. His son was, in fact, terminal. It's just a matter of time. Then 9/11 hits. He responds to the World Trade Centers. He's essentially now dealing with his own kind of post-traumatic stress when New York City becomes a war zone. He lost men from his own precinct and was really haunted by those memories, and he started sort of on a downward spiral. And at one point, a very dear friend handed him the book, The Grunt Padre, and the fireman read it, stayed up all night, read it in one sitting, called his friend the very next day, and he said, "This is where my hope lies. I'm going to make a pilgrimage down to Staten Island and visit the gravesite of Father Capodanno, and I'm taking my son." And so that's what this father did. He packed up his son. He drove down to Staten Island to St. Peter's Cemetery, where Father Capodanno was buried. He placed his son on top of that grave, and he prayed. And then he picked up his son, and he went home. Mm-hmm. A couple of days later, there was yet another standard routine visit to the doctor's office. And by that time, they had always, whenever he walked into the office, they just automatically drew blood and ran some tests before the doctor would even walk into the room. And all of a sudden, the office is just a hub of activity with people checking files and pulling files and making sure they have the right files. And they're kind of looking at each other and conferring with others and making sure they got the right blood cells, because essentially there was no trace left of this 1 year plus terminal
disease, and that child still lives today.
Praise God. But they don't want to go forward with the...
No.
You can imagine the storm of publicity that accompanies events like that. It's kind of hard to hide in a closet if your miracle is the one that makes them beatified.
That's right. And, you know, as parents, so we can appreciate their concern. Mm-hmm. So has there been a medically documented miracle? Yes. Can we use it? Unfortunately, no, out of respect and consideration for the family. Perhaps when the child is, you know, 21... we may be able to broach that subject again, you know, or there may be yet another miracle where we will be permitted to mm-hmm. submit it to Rome. But yes, there's been a miracle.
This is Cresta in the Afternoon. Patrick Coffin here, filling in for Al Cresta. We're talking about servant of God, Father Vincent Capodanno, a great, heroic Vietnam Navy chaplain who died in September 1967 in a firefight, is now being considered by the Catholic Church to be a saint. And we're talking with Judy, who's the petitioner. The toll-free number, 1-877-573-7825. If you want to weigh in, I do see a line open. We've got a few minutes left. Judy, you were raised and in a military family, married a U.S. Navy officer. You're surrounded by military folk. How did you hear about Father Capodanno, and what is the role of the petitioner exactly?
When my husband was still active duty, and we had 5 instead of 6 children, and I was feeling that tug to start something, I spent a good year looking for something that already existed.
Mm-hmm.
and there wasn't. But shortly after we established Catholic Mill, one of our many good and faithful contacts told me about Father Mode. And Father Mode, of course, was a seminarian when he uncovered the hidden life of Father Capodanno. And it was actually his thesis, which then was published into a book, which is now in its 3rd printing. So it was basically by introduction to Father Mode that I learned about Father Capodanno's life. And then we served as petitioners, which is simply calling that life to the attention of the church for their consideration,
mm-hmm.
To review it to see if there may be something worthy of being noted in the church records as a saint. And they accepted the evidence, and the cause has been opened.
Now, there are certainly a lot of people alive today who could be interviewed. He only died in 1967. Is there much of a search on the go to find people who knew him well, who can testify to his sanctity?
You know, there's like 2 family members left. There's several veterans, mm-hmm. but to jump straight into the veterans really precludes a large portion of his life. You know, he was only 38 when he died on the battlefield.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little bit of both. It's a challenge, and the more that time passes, the fewer there are. But there are significant testimonies that have been gathered already and continue to be gathered.
Well, Judy, I wish we had more time to talk about it. VincentCapodanno.org. Thank you so much, Judy, for joining us.
Did you know that teens are the largest consumer of internet pornography? This is an alarming statistic. Hi, this is Jason Everett. If you're a parent or educator of teens and feel ill-equipped to talk to them about sex, I've got great news. Having spoken to more than a million teens about chastity, I helped develop the Theology of the Body for Teens program. This tool for presenting the church's beautiful teaching to your teens can be found at tobforteens.com. That's tobforteens.com. God bless you.
The Western Wall, birthplace of Mary, floating in the Dead Sea, camel rides, me, Steve Ray, sharing along the way, pray in the upper room. Go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Click on the Pilgrimage 2011 link and look for the tours coming up in February and June.
Hi, this is Teresa Tamio. Are you a Catholic business owner? Well, did you know you can actually get 24-hour-a-day online advertising targeted to Catholic consumers who want to do business with other Catholics like you? And did you also know that rates start at less than $1 a day? Well, when you display your business in the CatholicBusinessPages.com online directory, you will be reaching Catholic consumers who want to do business with you. So check it out. Go to CatholicBusinessPages.com, enter promo code AMR, and save.
Come and discover your gifts at the 8th Annual Archdiocese of Detroit Women's Conference, Called and Gifted, on November 12th and 13th at the Sterling Inn Hotel and Convention Center in Sterling Heights. Guest speakers include Sherry Waddell, Dr. Margie Crooks, and Father Alex Kretz. Register today to guarantee your seat for this workshop. Visit aogwomensministry.org or call 313-237-5806.
Returned as promised. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. This is Patrick Coffin filling in for the intrepid, illustrable, hope that's a word, Al Cresta. Al is busy, squired away in a castle, finishing his latest opus. We look forward to reading that book by Al Cresta. So I'm very grateful to be filling in for the man, the eminence grise of Catholic radio in America. And this is Cresta in the Afternoon. The toll-free phone number is 1-877-573-7825. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the movies with a man I've interviewed many times on Catholic Answers Live. And today we're going to hit Megamind and Unstoppable. And if we have time, we'll hit up a preview of the upcoming movie Tangled. His name, of course, is Stephen Graydonis. Check out his fine website, decentfilms.com. He's the film critic for the National Catholic Register, a member of the Online Film Critics Society and the Promontory Film Critics Circle. His reviews have appeared just about everywhere in the Catholic media sphere, including Catholic World Report, This Rock Magazine, American Outlook, EWTN, Catholic Exchange, and right here on Ave Maria Radio. We welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon, Mr. Stephen Graydonis. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Patrick. Nice use of eminence grise there. I wish that I had caught that word. Describe it.
Thank you. Well, I was kind of a thesaurus geek growing up. I used to read the thesaurus before I went to bed. True story. So thanks for your gimlet ear on that. Hey, Steve, always nice to talk to you, usually on Catholic Answers Live. Glad to segue and speak to you on Al Cresta's venue here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Catholic popes have taken an interest in film, haven't they, since their nascent their growth in the teens and 20s. I know that the first official document, to my knowledge, is Vigilante Curiae in 1936 by Pius XI.
That was the first encyclical that was devoted to the motion picture, but can you name the first encyclical that mentioned motion pictures?
Was it by Benedict XV?
It was also by Pius XI, so it was a trick question.
Ooh.
1929, his papal encyclical on Christian education.
Interesting. Now, this is the guy who is really... People don't know a lot about Pius XI because we know a lot about Pius XII, but he was really almost a proto John Paul II. He was a polymath. He was fluent in many, many languages. Obviously, they knew the ancient biblical Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Very interested in harnessing the power of media. He was the first pope on the radio. Achille Ratto, I think, or Ratti, you probably know, Stephen. But definitely a Renaissance man, and one who definitely saw the power inherent in these nascent media like radio and film. But okay, I've ticked it off. 1929. I'm glad it was in the context of education. I think that's significant as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's go to the hard ground of the current moment, and that is Megamind. I've not seen it. You always beat me to the punch in all things cinematic, Stephen. I know. The bit I know about Megamind is it's kind of an ironic take on the Superman franchise, seen through the eyes of a supervillain who's kind of part Brainiac, part Lex Luthor. I'll tee it up and toss it to you with that intro.
Yeah, that's just about right. You know, the Superman story, the iconic image, is a baby rocketing away from a doomed planet and being saved by coming to Earth, where he discovers that he has superpowers. In this version, there are two rockets with two babies from two doomed planets. And one of them grows into a spit-curled golden boy superhero of privilege. The other one has a much less luxurious upbringing and grows up into a supervillain. So the movie plays with the idea of predestination and nurture in the beginning. But as it goes on, it begins to take more seriously the idea of moral choices and how we really choose good and evil and what it means when we make those choices.
Is it American This is a homegrown film, isn't it? Is this based on a Japanese or a European a previously existent story, or is it original to the writer?
This is from DreamWorks Animation, which has made a veritable cottage franchise out of doing spoofs on pre-existing genres. So they did Kung Fu Panda, they did Monsters vs. Aliens, they started out with Shrek, of course, and so now they've turned their sights on superheroes. So this is really what they do. And with How to Train Your Dragon and Kung Fu Panda, they've had a number of hits in a row recently, and Megamind is, in my view, not quite up there in the same league as either of those two, but it's still entertaining. It performs the rather remarkable feat of getting me to sit all the way through a Will Ferrell movie.
That's which, probably because you can't see him.
Well, the only movie of his so far that I managed to sit through was Elf. But I liked this one. Brad Pitt, who played Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas, another DreamWorks film, is nice in the role of Metro Man, who's the sort of Superman clone. And then you've got Tina Fey as the Lois Lane character, who's inexplicably named Roxanne Ritchie. I thought she should have been named like Mia Madsen or something with M's in it to go with Megamind.
Yeah, that's right.
Metro Man.
That's right. Well, there's certainly A-lister lineup of voices: Ben Stiller, Brad Pitt, Will Ferrell, Tina Fey.
Ben Stiller is in this?
Yeah, Ben Stiller is the voice of Bernard.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know.
I'm here for you.
There, thanks.
Stephen, I've noticed a trend now, and it seems especially attached to animation films, to make everything in 3D, whether or not a pencil sticks in your face or a nose or what have you. Did you see it in 3D, and is this an example of a movie that probably should just be in two dimensions?
You know, I am a fan of computer animation being in 3D and live-action movie being in 2D. I think it just works well that way. You know, animation doesn't look like reality anyway, and 3D never looks real. Even the best 3D animation, even Avatar, it doesn't look really real because your eye can't focus back and forth from one object to another the way that you can in real 3D. So I like seeing cartoons in 3D. I really don't like to see live-action movies in 3D, and so I thought it worked.
I'm generally with you. My one exception to that would be Bob Zemeckis' Christmas Carol. I think you and I have clashed in the past on that. I thought it was just magical. Not perfect, and some of the Christian sub-themes have been a little bit evacuated. Do you remember that film? Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fantasy.
In the first place, I don't think we entirely clash because I like it too. And in the second place, it's computer animation. It's not live action.
Well, yeah. The reason I'm bringing it up is it's that pixelated live action plus more, a la his work on the Polar Express. But the actors were filmed, were they not? And then overlaid later with this digitizing process.
Not exactly. They used performance capture technology similar to Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. So they weren't filmed, but they wore sensors all over their bodies, and so their motions were transferred directly into the computer without the need for film.
Yes, okay. Language-wise, for Megamind, is this something that parents can take their six-year-old to because it's all cute and funny and things bounce around and it's sweet, or is it a little too adult-oriented with the allusions and with the action? And sometimes they have potty references that are supposed to be funny that fall flat.
You know, I don't remember any potty references or innuendo, anything significant in the way of content advisory. Of course, there's animated action violence. Other than that, the one caveat that I have is really thematic more than content-oriented. The character of Metro Man, the Superman character, is fairly satirically presented. And I don't have a problem with one film doing that, but in film after film after film, if the hero is always seen in a satiric light, I worry that it might turn our children into little cynics and prevent them from really having the ability to look up to heroes. Children need heroes, and I don't want them to be cynical. One movie's not going to do that, but I'm concerned about the pattern, so I want to make sure that my children see plenty of heroes in movies that they can really look up to, and if they do that, then I don't think a movie like Megamind is something that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's segue to the other movie that's opening soon. I don't think it's open yet. Unstoppable, the Denzel Washington thriller. Is it out yet?
Opens tomorrow.
Okay, sneak peek. Tell us about Unstoppable. I happen to really like Denzel Washington. He's very watchable and I think he's brings. I know I hate the word gravitas, but that's what I think of when I think of his performances.
Yeah, he absolutely does. He brings gravitas. He brings a charisma and authority. And this movie is no exception. He's done a lot of work with director Tony Scott. I have not especially liked some of their recent films. They did Man on Fire, which I loathed. They did, I just thought it was a horrible film. They did Deja Vu, which was a little better, but still not something I can entirely recommend. This is the movie, Unstoppable, where I think that they really get it right. And Denzel has a great co-star in Chris Pine. He was James Kirk in the recent J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, and they're in an action-adventure movie that is loosely based on a real incident of a runaway train in Ohio in 2001. The setting has been moved to Pennsylvania. The train is going quite a bit faster, and there are more explosions and more action here. But it seems to be fairly well informed from a train point of view, and it's a straight-ahead thriller, and it delivers the goods.
The premise, well, I didn't know it was based on something historical, reminded me of Runaway Train, starring John Voight and Eric Roberts, and almost unrecognizable Rebecca De Mornay. Do you remember that movie?
You know, I know of it, but I haven't seen it, and I didn't know that Rebecca De Mornay was in it.
Yeah, she's very kind of mousy, mannish. She's besotten by oil and so on. It's about a runaway train, and Eric Roberts is his own over the self. Over-the-top self in it. John Voight's character's name is Manny, and I think Eric Roberts moans the word Manny 18,000 times in this film. It's Andre.
See, now, I beat you to the newer films, but you beat me to a lot of the older ones.
Yes, well, I'm 68 years old, you know, Steve, so got some years over you. The toll-free number, if you want to weigh in on either Unstoppable with Denzel Washington or Megamind with Will Ferrell and
Brad Pitt.
Ben Stiller and Brad Pitt, animated film from DreamWorks, 1-877. I want to get this number correct.
877-573-7825.
Yeah, 877-573-7825. Andre Kanchelovsky is the director. It's kind of an early 80s movie. And if memory serves, it ends with a title credit from John's Gospel, where John Voight plays this larger-than-life guy, you know, barreling down the tracks on top of this runaway train, kind of the captain going down with the ship.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, for Unstoppable, we should mention that as an action-adventure movie, PG-13, this is really a movie for teens and up. It's not as graphic or as problematic as some of their R-rated films that they've made together, but there's action, violence, people do get hurt, things that you wouldn't want to expose younger children to, and there's a little bit of mildly sleazy content around Denzel Washington's two daughters who are waitressing at Hooters. Not the most savory setting, but these movies do get a lot worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Another one we can maybe tease is Tangled. Tell us about Tangled.
Ah, Tangled is the latest from Disney. This is their take on the Rapunzel story. It was originally going to be called Rapunzel Unbraided, but last year the Princess and the Frog didn't do well at the box office, and the bean counters at Disney are worried that the Princess brand isn't selling, so they've gone with what they perceive as an androgynous name, Tangled. It's computer animated, and it's the story of a roguish thief named Flynn Rider who discovers Rapunzel locked away in her tower. She's never been outside, and she is the prisoner of an evil woman named Mother Gothel, who calls her her daughter and keeps her for magic properties of her hair.
Well,
on
that hirsute note, Stephen Graydon, it's great to catch up with you again.
Look
forward to talking to you once again. God bless
that
you.
That was too quick.
Be well. I agree. All right, Stephen Graydon from DecentFilms.com. Check him out. This is Patrick Coffin. I will be back to say a few words before I say sayonara here on Cresta in the Afternoon.
A good school provides a rounded education for the whole person, and a good Catholic school over and above this should help all its students to become saints. These recent words from Pope Benedict highlight the need for a strong Catholic education. Ave Maria is a new university in the Catholic tradition aspiring under grace to become a vital center of the new springtime of culture, anticipated by John Paul II for this millennium. Ave Maria University offers a liberal arts education with a broad moral and intellectual foundation.
We don't just prepare you to take your place as a leader in this world. We prepare you to be saints. At Ave Maria University, we've attracted an extraordinarily gifted and dynamic faculty. Students learn not to just memorize material, but to understand it deeply, appropriate it, and apply it to their lives. Come to beautiful Southwest Florida to live, learn, and love our faith. We also welcome transfer students. More information at avemaria.edu.
Are you looking for softness, warmth, and comfort on a carpet that you can sink your toes into at the end of a long day? Introducing Tigressa Soft Style, the softer, stronger carpet. Now only at Independent Carpet One Floor and Home. Tigressa carpets have a silkier feel, deeper color, and longer wear than any other carpets. Get special introductory prices on Tigressa now and take advantage of great financing. Independent Carpet One Floor and Home on Wayne Road in Westland.
At Advanced Dentistry Center, they don't expect to hear things like,
"I love going to the dentist."
But as one patient put it, Dr. Maddie makes going to the dentist an okay thing. He also makes it affordable with exams and x-rays for just $29. And that's not a limited or first-time offer. It's all the time. Discover the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Your smile deserves a call to 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank Nick Tom and all the team who put together Cresta in the Afternoon for asking me to fill in for Al Cresta. Delighted to be here. Catholic Answers Live is coming up next. My name is Patrick Coffin. That show is also hosted by me, Glorious Me, so stick around for the next 2 hours here on the EWTN Network. This is Veterans Day in Canada, known as Remembrance Day. So remember our fallen dead, our wounded soldiers, all the people who keep us safe and free. If you see a soldier on the street, go up to him and thank him or her for his service. Same with the priesthood. You know, we spoke with Judy McCloskey about servant of God Vincent Capodanno, a great Navy chaplain. I always make a habit of going up, whether it's at the airport or in a restaurant on the sidewalk, and say, you know, thank you, Father, for wearing your collar. Thank you for your priesthood. Or thank you, Sister, for your public witness. It really means a lot. Our clergy and our religious people really need our support. So thank them. All right. Coming up next, Catholic Answers Live. This has been Patrick Coffin.
Cresta in the Afternoon is produced and distributed by Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The executive producer is Nick Tom. The technical engineer is Kara Coulter. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
New from best-selling journalist, historian, and author Paul Boddy is The Face of God. Boddy's book embarks on an exciting quest to discover the truth behind the Holy Face of Montepello relic. Boddy takes readers through a thrilling journey as he travels to research this remarkable relic, which, when laid over the image of the face on the Shroud of Turin, forms a perfect match. The Face of God is available at Ignatius.com or 800-651-1531. 800-651-1531.
Are you worried about your investments and the moral practices of companies in which you've invested? I'm George Schwartz, the founder of Schwartz Investment Counsel, a registered investment advisor established in 1980. If you're a pro-life investor and are concerned about your investments, the Ave Maria division of Schwartz Investment Counsel may be able to help you. Our firm has experienced professional analysts and portfolio managers who thoroughly research companies from an investment point of view and from a moral perspective. We are nationally known as a leader in the growing field of morally responsible investing. To learn more, give us a call, toll-free, 866-AVE-MARIA, or visit schwartzinvest.com. In my new book, Good Returns, I explain morally responsible investing and our successful approach to finding profitable investments. My friend, Hall of Fame coach Lou Holtz, has written a terrific foreword for my book. I think you'll really enjoy reading it.
Call 1-866-AVE-MARIA.